welcome to Let's Talk Marriage with Stephen and Audrey. I'm Stephen.
Hi, I'm Audrey.
And we're so glad to be with you today. We have a great show planned for you. We had a few letters to come in from our listeners, and we're going to get into that. But before we do that, I'm going to have Audrey tell you guys how to contact us.
Okay. You can listen to our podcast through our Facebook group, Let's Talk Marriage with Stephen and Audrey. And you can also listen to our podcast on Spotify.com. If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to address, you can leave those questions or topics at 470-607-4743.
Okay, that's great. So you know how to contact us. And we had a few people call in on that number, a couple of people, and they had some questions for me and Audrey. So we're going to start with that. And if we have enough time, we'll get into a little bit of our topic that we had prepared for today. So, Audrey, what's some of those questions?
Okay, Stephen, our first question comes, it says, how can you add spice to your marriage outside of the bedroom? And they want it from a husband and a wife's perspective.
Okay. So you want to go first?
Yes, I'll go first. All right. Thank you, Stephen.
Yep.
Okay. How do you add spice? In order to add spice to your marriage outside of the bedroom, is first of all, I think, one of the ways is to create more intimacy. In creating intimacy, you want to show some gratitude. I'm telling you, wives, our husbands experience a lot of negativity throughout the day, and it's nothing would be greater to them than you to show some gratitude.
Oh, okay, all right. I was wondering where you was going with that, but I see, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, they really love it. When you have... we have something nice to say,
yeah. You
know, or a kind gesture, you know, a favorite meal, a special dessert, you know, a massage, maybe even a just because card, you know?
Yeah.
I think so. Another way, Stephen, another spicer upper would be communication.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, communicate your desires and your fantasies. You know, you do that outside of the bedroom, you know, and you to spice up when you get to the bedroom. So outside of the bedroom, communicate your desires or your fantasies, and you ask your husband what are his desires and his fantasies.
Okay.
And another one, this is my last one, Stephen. I think another spicer upper or intimacy builder with outside of the bedroom would be, you know, cuddling up, getting close, giving those little short kisses, caressing, something like that, Stephen.
Okay, that sounds pretty good.
And I know you said something about getting out and creating memories or something.
Well, kind of on that level, you know, I think of it as intimacy outside of the bedroom. A lot of that is what you do together, the places you go. You know, you go out for a nice dinner. You know, but that's kind of a standard thing. So, but what I'm talking about is when you have a project or something to work on outside, you know, that you and your wife can work on together, a project. I think that is, that stirs up a lot of intimacy. You know, to give you an example, me and RG, we had a Valentine's ball. And it wasn't just the Valentine ball that was so great. It was the lead up to it, the making the phone calls, to booking the hotel ballroom, to planning the food menu, where we had to communicate with all that, you know, to get them tickets sold, to get the tickets printed. All of the stuff that went into making it happen, it was a project that we both had to work on.
Yes. I agree, right. Stephen. Yes.
And then once it was over and the event was a big success, you know, we feel a little warm inside that night. I'm just saying. Yeah, because we looked at, we didn't look just look at the event. We looked at everything that went into putting it together.
Right.
Absolutely. How we had to communicate and work together and, mm-hmm. and get things organized. And you know what I mean? It took, you know, a couple of months to put that together.
Right. And that was some bonding that it took for us to work
together. To work together.
Absolutely.
And then at the end of that, you know, we were, you know, it was just like we felt good about what we did.
Absolutely.
How we were able to work together to accomplish something.
That's it.
And that led to intimacy outside of the bedroom.
Absolutely.
Because when we did get to the bedroom, I'm just going to leave it right there.
That's funny, Stephen. Okay. The next question was, let's see. It's for me, Stephen. It's dealing with women, dealing with menopause.
That's you right there.
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Yes. Menopause, Stephen. There's perimenopause that's leading up to the actual menopause. Then there's menopause, and then there's postmenopause, which means your menstrual cycle, you haven't had one for at least 12 months. But menopause causes a lot of hormonal changes in your body, in a woman's body. She loses estrogen. And during that process, some things happen, like hot flashes and vaginal dryness. And I think it's very important. I apologize. The question was, how do you go about having a great sexual relationship during menopause?
Oh, okay.
So during menopause, you first got to have that conversation with your husband about what's happening with your body.
Yeah, I guess that's important because the guy ain't going to know when that starts with you, with the female, and what all that means. You know, y'all tell us that you have the hot flashes, but we don't really experience it, so we don't really know.
That's true.
The depth of it. You know, we just know you do it. Go through it.
That's true, Stephen.
Yeah.
And then there's, instead of pleasure during our sexual time, our whoopee time, it becomes painful for the woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a painful thing.
Yes.
See, I never knew that. I knew y'all had them. But I didn't know having intercourse was painful.
Yes, because of the vaginal dryness, Stephen.
Because, okay.
Yes.
What about that?
Yes, so, you know, I just think, you know, there's...
I was going to say something, but I ain't going to say it.
There are several ways to eliminate or reduce the vaginal dryness. You may want to talk with your gynecologist. Ladies, I know for Stephen and I, the foreplay works wonders. You know, instead of the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, you know, give it some time. Yes.
So when we do our foreplay and we're doing our foreplay.
Yes, having fun.
Then what does that do for your vaginal dryness?
Well,
is that a part of lubricating you more? Or?
Absolutely. Okay, it stimulates me. And to the point where I, you know, develop some moisture so it's not as dry.
Okay.
Yes. You really get into it.
Okay.
You
know? So that's kind of true for every woman or?
Not every woman. Foreplay may not work for every woman. That's why it's very important for the women to talk with their gynecologist, their primary doctor, to see, you know, if a cream or some other type lubricant.
Yeah, it's time to bring that baby oil out, that baby oil.
Well, olive oil does the trick, too.
Olive oil, baby oil. They got lots of different kinds of lubricants.
Yes. Now, the baby oil, Stephen, if women are... you know, not trying to be pregnant, not trying to get impregnated, then, you know.
The baby will keep you from getting pregnant.
Well, no. What happens if there's a condom, it reduces the condoms, you know, the condoms
with the baby
protection.
Oil? Oh, is that
the
right?
Baby
the baby oil does that.
Yes. Yeah, it reduces.
But I mean, if you haven't menopause, you ain't gonna get had no baby anyway.
sometimes the baby catches you when you're not.
Even for a woman having menopause in her 40s, 50s.
Well, I'll say this, Stephen. With leading up to menopause, you're still having a cycle. It's irregular, but you're still having a cycle. And sometimes that's when you can get caught. You know, So the baby oil reduces the protection with the condoms and the diaphragm for the women. But the olive oil is good. Yeah.
All right, brothers. You know, make sure you got olive oil in the house. Don't use the baby oil. I know y'all all
the baby oil may bring a baby.
Yeah, baby oil bring babies. So you might not want the baby oil. I got baby oil. I got to pour mine down the toilet. I thought I was doing something. Anyway.
Oh, that's funny, Stephen. Okay, so we're going to get to the next question, Stephen.
All right, what's the next question?
Okay.
That was a good question. There's a lot of stuff, but that was educational for me. I think it is important that you share that with your mate. You know, not just go talk to your doctor, but talk to your husband about it.
Yes, I agree,
so
Stephen.
He can kind of be aware of what's going on, right?
Yes, communication is key.
That's important for him to know.
Yes, it is.
And that's kind of one of them things that women don't really share. They share with other women, they share with their doctor, but that ain't something they normally share with their husbands. Would you agree with that?
I agree, Stephen, and it's very important share.
Now that we've had the conversation about it. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. I would like to know things about that, you know, as you're going through it, so I can know where I need to be. How can I support that? How can I help that? What I need to do during those times you're going through that?
Yes.
You know, so Absolutely.
I agree, Stephen.
Because when you start climbing the walls and acting all crazy, I need to know what to do. You know what I mean?
Okay, moving on to the next question. I do not climb the walls.
Yeah, when you start freaking out and walking around in circles, I need to know what to do. I mean, come on now.
I do not walk in circles.
All
Stephen,
right.
Stop it.
All right.
Okay. All right, the next caller, one of our podcast listeners, wanted to know about why is there an increasing rate of Black women turning into lesbians.
Wow, what a question.
Yes, so Stephen, what do you think is causing that? You know,
well, a lot of it's societal. We are getting bombarded on the social networks and things like that about that lifestyle, that is a good lifestyle. But I think how it started, well, I don't really know how it started, to be honest with you, but from my experience about it, I think a lot of women had dated, went out with guys, had a lot of unsuccessful relationships. A lot of them had kids out of wedlock with guys and they broke up with them and now they find it hard to find love. Because I think that's for the women that are lesbians, I think that's really the goal. To find love, somebody who loved them and care for them.
I agree.
And
want to
be with
Stephen.
Them.
Yes, I agree.
And they're not having the success with men. So I think most of the women get into that through experimentation. They want to experiment with it just to see. Because they might meet a girl who's really nice to them and hug them. You know, because girls are huggy, kissy, feely anyway. It's friends. Just friends.
Absolutely.
Heterosexual girl friends.
Absolutely.
They're into kind of, they have more of an intimate relationship than males do with their friends.
Yes, it's absolutely different.
It's absolutely different. So it ain't that far of a leap for them to me. So, and then on the other side of it, a lot of these women, they don't come into these relationships with men the right way. They haven't had great examples how to be a good girlfriend, how to be a good wife. They come in, I mean, you know, you want a guy to marry you, fall in love with you. I mean, that's a lot of that got to do with how you are.
Absolutely.
Your attitude. Mm-hmm. You know, some women come into the relationship wrong, and they feel like they can talk to a guy any kind of way. They can play with a guy emotions and play around with this one guy and mess around with the other guy. Dude, I mean, you know. And then at the end of the story, though, none of the guys want them. And they stuck with two or three kids. So they go out looking for love. And, you know, they go out looking for compassion, somebody to, as they're getting older. And I think it's easy in that for them to make that transition. Because girls are, you know, you get a girlfriend. From what I've known about girlfriends, they close. They hang out, they hold hands. And so they're intimate anyway. And I don't think it's that far of a leap to turn that friendship into a sexual relationship.
Well, I'll say this, Stephen. I think it stems from a void in their life. Like you say, they're missing something.
Yeah.
And they're looking for love. And when it doesn't go the way they think it should go, they could be partly the blame. Because, like you said, for a lack of knowledge of how they should present themselves as a young lady, as a young woman, how they should present themselves to a man and what they expect out of a man. And so they don't really know about relationships. And so they start with a heterosexual relationship, but then when it goes sour, for the lack of knowledge of how to have a real relationship, then they look at society, and society says, okay, get with the woman. She thinks like you.
She understands you. Yeah, that's true.
Yes, yes. But it's not like that. It's absolutely not like that. You're friends as females, but there are parameters.
Yeah.
There are parameters, and you don't cross the line because you know who you are.
And I guess a lot of times they don't know who they are for them to do that.
That's right. And that's a good point, Stephen.
A lot of them don't really know
who they are. They don't know who they are. And we get our identity
from
Christ. From the Lord.
They're getting theirs from Facebook.
Yeah, they're getting their YouTube. And reality shows.
That's where they're getting their identity from.
That's true.
And when you watch those shows, anything goes.
Absolutely.
They agree with any kind of lifestyle that you might want to have.
Yes. So that's why we think, Stephen and I think, that there's an alarming rate of our black women turning into lesbians.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yes. So.
And there is good men out there, ladies. I don't want to say this. Can I say this right quick?
Sure.
It's a lot of good eligible men that's looking for good wives. But to get a good husband, you have to be a good wife. Let's make that part clear. You have to be a good wife to get a good husband.
That's very true.
Be able to give him the things he need, like you expect him to give you the things you need. The relationship can't go one way. He's giving everything and doing everything, and you do what you want to do.
That's right.
You want to be the head and lead and tell a man what to do.
It's not just what a girl wants, what a girl needs, but it's also what a guy wants, what a guy needs.
You know, the whole thing is we supposed to be there to give each other what we need.
Absolutely.
I got needs from you. Mm-hmm. You got needs from me. It's supposed to be like that.
That's true.
And those needs have to be honored.
That's true. Absolutely.
Okay, so if you guys have any feedback, we're kind of running low on time. We'll pick up our topic next week. We might do it tomorrow. I don't know. But if anybody have any questions about our answers to the questions that were sent in, Archie, why don't you get that number one more time?
Okay.
Call that number, and if you want to add something to it, we'll read whatever you send in. We'll read it over the air, and then if you have a thought about it, you might want to add to the conversation that we had about either one of those topics. So what is that number?
That number is 470-607-4743.
Okay, we're here to answer your questions. Be sure to call in. Next time we get together, we're going to talk about, because, you know, we talk about the perfect marriage. And so what we're going to start off with is the foundation. What is the foundation of the perfect marriage? Whenever you're building something, you have to have a strong foundation. And we're going to try to put that in perspective for you. So be sure to tune in, and we'll be looking forward to hearing from you. And this is Let's Talk Marriage with Stephen and Audrey. I'm Stephen.
I'm Audrey.
And you guys have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.